Hey there, Dragonfly Nation. This is the Canadian Bushcraft Podcast with your hosts, Caleb Musgrave and Rye the Adventure Guy Moffat. And this is episode 125 of the podcast, focusing on bushcraft DIY holiday gifts. Stay tuned.
To know the landscape is to open up a door, to feel deeper connected than you've ever felt before. We know that you will love this podcast. So shut your mouth and listen to Canadian Bushcraft.
Hey folks, this is episode 125 of the podcast. We're focusing on DIY holiday gifts. One of our more recent episodes, we talked about things you should buy for someone getting into bushcraft for Christmas or the holidays. This one's more about what can you do yourself. This could be for people that are trying to be thrifty. Maybe you are dealing with inflation and everything else as an adult and you're trying to make some stuff for your kids. Maybe you're a college student or a teenager who's looking for things to make with very little income. Whatever it may be. Or you just want to be creative this year. The previous episode was all about buying things and trying to make sure it's under a certain price point. This one is all about DIY. Handmade. What you can do with your own bare hands, some tools, and your creativity. So things like that are the main focus here on this episode. You can go far beyond this, and it doesn't have to be, you know, Christmas specific. This could be the holidays for different religions and different cultures. For example, this episode was dropped on the winter solstice, which is my holiday. This is my sacred day of the year. And I would still make a lot of these kinds of gifts for folks that I love to give away at this time of year for this holiday. So without further ado, let's just dive right into it. Rye, what's the first one on your list, your thoughts and ideas for holiday gifts?
I think one of the main ones that comes to everyone's mind when thinking bushcraft and taking those skills from the woods back home is wood carving.
Yeah.
Because we all start out just playing in the woods, building forts, carving things, pointy sticks.
Yep.
But then we kind of gravitate, and then now we use these skills in our everyday lives. So I think wood carvings is one of the main ones, one of the easier ones to think of a lot of different options. So definitely. Spoons, cups, cookses, bowls, even using those skills to make something like a mortar and pestle.
Good idea.
Just grinding up herbs in the kitchen, make it for your parents or your brother, sister, whatever. And something as simple as coasters. All you need is like a 3 or 4 inch round log and a saw, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then you can decorate it however you like and spruce it up. And here you go, mom and dad. Here's some coasters, sort of thing.
Very clever.
And even when you start getting into some more of the advanced stuff like shrink pots.
Yeah.
So storage vessels that you can keep things in boxes. And then even other going way down the line stuff like canoe paddles. Those are some of my ideas for carvings that some range from simple to advanced. And I think with DIY, you don't have to think about it being perfect. You're not going to be a professional level, like you're ready to sell your wares in a market necessarily.
Hi, John. Hi, Radic.
But yeah, you can make some stuff that's from the heart. You take that time to make it for someone. I think it has that much more meaning to it.
Definitely. So
what are your ideas for stuff like that?
I'm going to build off the carving idea first before we go too further down the list. Figurines.
Yeah.
So if you do have a family that, you know, loves the Christmas traditions, you may want to even have the time to carve yourself a little nativity scene.
Yeah.
The more you practice, you see some people making some amazing, like, gnomes and Santa Clauses and stuff with a simple knife, maybe a hook knife to add a little bit of depth and detail here and there, but pieces of basswood or just simple softwood branches that you can find in the area. Pruning, clippings, all that kind of stuff you see on the neighborhood from people dropping trees and stuff. All that can be easily converted into really simple little crafts and decorations. You can make yourself an entire Christmas sleigh of Santa and his reindeer and everything else if you want to, if you have the time. So that's definitely, like, carving is 100% something on the top of my list for that too.
Yeah.
Definitely. Beyond that, let me just pull my notes up real quick. The other one that I've often fallen back on, because when I was in college, I was broke as hell all the time. And I've got in-laws, I've got my own parents, I've got 2 siblings and a bunch of in-law siblings. So the simplest one I ever did was wreaths.
Yeah.
I would go out, cut a couple of willows or dogwood saplings that are about, you know, pencil thick to maybe pinky thick, and start kind of weaving those into like a wicker hoop. And then with a little bit of cordage, it could be, you know, modern string, sewing thread, whatever, or traditional twine that you find on the landscape from basswood bark, milkweed thread, whatever. And then you just go and pick a bunch of boughs. Yeah. You can pick balsam, spruce, other conifer boughs. Go look for those, what am I looking for the name here? High bush cranberries that are nice and red this time of year, hanging on the branches. And just kind of thread those in as you kind of weave in all those boughs to make a very simple wreath. The ones I used to love doing is I would then add a dream catcher in the middle just to try and make it a little bit different and unique.
Yeah.
But that's always been a standby for me. Every time I'm a little hard for cash, my family knows when I'm a little strapped for cash during the holidays because they get wreaths. And some of my folks, my parents would often have that wreath well into the spring hanging off their front yard, off their the front wall of their house. So it's a really easy one, but I think a lot of people really appreciate them because of how much time and decoration and effort goes into making them. But it's a simple one to make. You can make a bunch of them with very little materials, and pretty much the only tools you need is something to cut the sticks and something to cut the branches, and that's about it.
And like you said, you can use modern twine, jute twine, stuff like that. Or else, if you know how to make cordage, like the more handmade pieces go into it, the more of a story it tells. So when you gifting it to someone, I got this from Red Osier Dogwood or something. I got this cordage from basswood. And there's a whole story that goes along with it. So it's not just, I made you a wreath.
Here
you go.
Bye.
Go.
If you don't have, like, let's say you live downtown Toronto or something, there's not a lot of dogwoods and willows you can just cut. Often you'll find old grapevine and stuff in town parks that is actually, depending on the species, sometimes not native in your area, so you may actually be benefiting by pruning. And also grapevine, it gets encouraged to grow more by pruning, so you can be very sustainable that way. But you can also just look for, you know, bent sticks that you can kind of interlace together, driftwood along the lake shore if you live down in downtown Toronto or something. Things like that, that you can just kind of intertwine, tie together tightly with a jam knot or a constrictor knot, and kind of just make it your own thing. You can be as creative or as plain Jane as you want with a wreath. They don't have to take a lot of work, but you can put a lot of love into them. So I think they're a great one on the list.
Yeah, it's, I think it brings a lot of the simple skills together, but it looks pretty elegant when it's done.
Yeah.
So, I think one thing that goes really well with all of woodwork and carving is pyrography.
Just
wood burning. So if you can then make, like I said, coasters or spoons, bowls, cups, and then add a little artistic flair to it. Because, on its own, it's a good utilitarian vessel. But then you add some designs and maybe draw a little story that then you can explain that stories and then they go and like, oh yeah, my son or daughter made this and this is symbolizes this, or it's our family story on like a bowl or something, a serving plate
kind of thing. For pyrography, you can go and buy for a really cheap price a good wood burning kit. But again, if you're like a student or you just don't have the money or you don't have the means to go out and get those things because you live in, you don't have wheels or whatnot, a nail driven into a stick and the point of it sticking out, and a blowtorch or a stove element just to heat up that nail, and you can scratch in the design very easily.
If you're sitting by the campfire.
There you go. There you go.
And then even with this, if you don't necessarily have all the carving tools, you can do coal burned bowls.
Yeah.
That's a nice, easy one that is always a good starter kind of thing when getting into spoon making and bowl making. All you need is a coal from the fire and just let it burn out on top of your piece, and then scrape out the ashes and
perfect,
you're good to go.
And it adds a lot of good character too. There's again a story you can tell to the gift giftee of what you did, the process of making that for them.
And then even instead of wood burning, there's other options like coal roasting.
Chip carving styles.
So if you just want to chip carve or scrape out some indentations and then put ash in there, and then burnish it to when you're done, you don't have to worry about handling necessarily all these hot materials. So that's another little option that you can do yourself.
I dig it. I like that. All right, so beyond that, I think the next one on my list, again, I'm trying to stick to simplicity at first, and then we can get into some more complex. Of course, the carving is sometimes simple, sometimes complex, but a really easy one, and this can be very cultural depending on what nation you're from, what traditions you have. a piece of birch bark, just a strip, let's say, as long as your finger or longer if it has to wrap around, depending on the circumference of the candle. Mm-hmm. But basically making candlestick holders from the woods. And mm-hmm. so what I'll do is I'll get a piece of, like a wood cookie, as you're describing for the coasters.
Yeah.
And I'll drill a little bit of a hole in the bottom. I'll shove a piece of hardwood into that. And at the very top of that, I'll give it a little split with my knife. Take this piece of birch bark, wrap it around a candlestick base, and then slide the birch bark folded together into that split, and it holds the candle in place. It's an old school, very traditional European, Northern European way of holding candles mm-hmm. at camp, in a cabin, whatnot. And I don't know a lot about this, this next part, but trying to keep this as multicultural as possible, there is always the possibility, if it is acceptable in your traditions, if you're Jewish, to make mm-hmm. potentially a menorah yeah. with this stuff. I don't know if there's any specific rules of how the menorah must be made.
I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe I've seen people make their mm. own hand-carved ones because they're celebrating Hanukkah, and they're like, why don't I just make, mm-hmm. it's just an 8-piece candle holder.
Exactly. So that's, I've seen similar posts, so I mm-hmm. figured it must be considered acceptable, but just to make yeah. sure, like, look into it, talk to your elders in your community. Mm-hmm. But I think that'd be a great way, or if you're not Jewish and you just want to make candlestick holders, you can make a bunch of them in like an hour. Yeah. Like literally you make a bunch of them in an hour and gift them away to your relatives, your loved ones, etc. Mm-hmm. Go to a nice, you know, candle store and buy some decent candles, beeswax candles, scented candles, whatever. Make them look nice and pretty. Make sure the bark is cleaned up nice and clean so it's not all raggedy looking. And no, your candle's not going to burn down the whole house when it goes near the birch bark. The wax is going to coat the birch bark and pretty much put out the wick by the time it gets there because mm-hmm. it's clamped. I've never seen one of these burn anything down. So, of course, with all open flames, be safe. Mm-hmm. But rest assured, you're not going to destroy the neighborhood by making these things and giving them away. Very simple to make. Very little skill necessary. Just having a simple set of tools like a knife, maybe a drill. If you don't have a drill, get some screws and a screwdriver, and you can just screw them on the bottom. It's not as old school, but it's still mm-hmm. effective. And then maybe a pair of good sharp scissors for trimming the birch bark that you collected off of a dead tree or a stump. Mm-hmm. Very, very basic, very simple. But again, just like the wreath and everything we've described, it's simple but elegant. And it looks yeah. very nice, and people appreciate the story behind it.
Well, even things like you said with beeswax, I have fond memories when I was a child. I think that was the first time I'd ever made something like a candle.
Oh, yeah.
Was with those beeswax sheets. So all you have to do is put a piece of wick, the mm-hmm. length of it, and then just roll it up.
Yeah,
pretty
yeah.
much. So you don't have to work with melting wax and pouring yeah. your own candles or anything.
It's a safer route with kids for sure. I've gone to a lot of events where they do like the beeswax candle dipping.
Yeah.
And there's always at least one kid that gets a burned finger.
Yeah. The intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
Come in, you're like,
stick the hand in.
Dip the finger in.
It can't be that hot. But yeah, candles is a great option. Then add that to the candlestick holder. That's a great yeah. idea, right? I love that. So, heck yeah.
And even, like you said, with wreaths earlier, mm-hmm. then you've put this style with the candles that hang through the center. And
yeah,
everything,
yeah.
So
we've done the little candlestick holder shoved into the woven wicker frame and then stuck a candle in there. And as long as you get the wreath big enough that the flame yeah. can't touch any of the boughs, that's kind of like, that's the one time I do have to talk safety.
No 6-inch wreath.
Yeah. Little tiny wreath and then a giant candle. It's better to go the direction of a very small, like almost birthday candle size yeah. or a little bit bigger, stubbier, with a big wreath that's like the size of a garbage can lid or a bicycle yeah. rim. But yeah, they're or bicycle tire rim, just to clarify, bicycle mm-hmm. rim is a little different. But yeah, I think candles and candlestick holders. You can also just do carved candlestick holders. Drill a hole, set the candles in. That also works as well. But if you want yeah. to go with a simple one, you maybe not have all the tools, fold a piece of bark, birch bark around the stick, the candlestick set into a split piece of wood with a base on it. Very mm-hmm. simple.
Yeah, nice and easy. And I guess to go off that whole talk about birch is stuff like there's a reindeer. My mom yeah. was even really getting into this idea, and she wanted to make it last year. So I think I'm still going to try to make it this year. Mm. Is just a little birch reindeer using the logs and branches of a birch tree. Just like a cool. small, like 4-inch round kind of sapling, cut it down. You have maybe like a 2 to 3 foot length for the body. Mm-hmm. You get some thinner, thumb thick or slightly larger branches for the legs. And it kind of gives you a chance to practice your mortise and tenons
yeah,
when
yeah.
you're bushcrafting and making cool. chairs and racks and everything. So I think that's a really good idea. And then just the branches for the antlers, mm-hmm. just all the twists and turns and little tiny other branches coming off of it. Yeah. So something like that.
And that alone, just straight logs with like cross cut ends on them is good enough. Mm-hmm. But I've seen people even do like where they take an axe or a knife and they carve kind of like the details of it. Not in severe detail, but just mm-hmm. like the contours of the face. They got two cuts on the sides and one cut coming down to make the face mm-hmm. go down to the snout. And then they've even taken like wood cookies that have been cut on angle to make like ears to set in.
Yeah.
They can be, again, like everything else we've listed, as complicated as you want, as detailed as you want, or as simple as you want. They can be made small. They can be made huge. I'm kind of considering for next year making a giant moose version.
Yeah.
Like a full scale moose. It'll probably break my branches that I'm using for the legs. But now I'm kind of curious to see if we can do that out of some cedar or something.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool to make.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and these are just kind of prompts more than anything. Mm-hmm. I'm a visual learner. It's like just describing it. So we're just kind of giving you the points to, and it sounds like a good idea. I'm going to go Google it.
Yeah, exactly. Go and look see it up
and then you can get a visual. Okay, that's what they're talking about sort of thing. So yeah, we can't go too in depth in our explanations here.
Yeah, this is like when we were talking about wood carving with John, and he was trying to demonstrate. It's like, not going to work, brother. We're an audio based here. Maybe down the road we'll start doing visual video podcasts and stuff like on YouTube or something. But right now we're sticking to the regular classic algorithm of audio only.
Hell yeah. I think just to kind of bounce off that one quick, you could do a lot of things with log building. You can make stools, seats. My one idea that I've always kind of wanted to do is make a log dog bed frame, just like how you've seen log beds out there, mm-hmm. just a smaller scale down ones that you can fit one of those store-bought mattresses in for a dog.
Perfect. Something to make a couple for ours.
Something to put at the foot of the bed.
Perfect.
I don't know if these two would use them, though.
I'd probably be the one sleeping on them just so I can get some space.
Yeah.
They kick me out of the bed all the time. But yeah, that's a great direction, like going into, you know, log building, going into log furniture and stuff. You can always go, I think it's called not Timber Jack, but I think it's called like the Lumberjack Tools. It's that system I have that we have. It's a Morrison Tenon machine. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a Forstner bit that's a 1.5-inch Forstner bit, and I believe a 1.5-inch Tenon, mm-hmm. almost like a giant pencil sharpener you put on the end of a drill.
Yeah.
And then you just take whatever heavy-duty drill you got, and you can just drill the Morrison Tenons for making furniture. If you want to go that far into your creativity and turn it into kind of a side hobby or even a side hustle, they go for about $150 to $200 on most online stores.
Yeah, I think it's something if you plan to use it pretty often, but just little gifts like that, I'm more thinking just like a little carving with your hatchet and your Mora knife sort of thing.
Totally.
Just something
a simple drill nice bit.
Simple.
Drill bit in your DeWalt or something just to make the holes if you need to, or just learn to carve them out or make square holes and square tenons.
Like, all of these are a chance to practice these skills. They're not maybe something you've been practicing for the last few years and you're ready to go, but you're like, that sounds like a good idea. I kind of want to get into that.
Heck yeah.
And by the end of it, you've worked on your skills. This is all kind of a bit of a practice and showing off what you've learned and what you can learn. So
definitely. From there, I'm just thinking about going back to, like, weaving. Because you mentioned to me one that you really like is the Christmas stars that are woven. Do you mind explaining what that is?
Well, you can just kind of like a wreath, but just getting maybe five-inch lengths of sticks, and you can put them side by side and just put them into pretty much a pentagram shape.
Right.
But
having
a star and then just tying them off and using those lashing skills, how you would a tripod or any kind of thing in the woods.
And mainly the woven base to be able to set it onto the tree, I'm guessing.
Like, it depends on how tight your weave is or anything like that. You can just find a way to get that big top branch on the Christmas tree and set it down on top or rest it
amongst the tree branches
gotcha. On top. Like, any of these kind of little things can be used to make tree ornaments. You can make a cookie and then do pyrography on it to make a little tree ornament, and even like little smaller stars to kind of hang around, just another little piece of twine at the top looped, and then put that on a branch.
I think everybody knows this experience when they have a Christmas tree in their lives. Your parents have like that ceramic thing that has your name on it and your sibling's name on it, the other one. and then you guys have kids, so they get a bunch of those with their grandkids' names. Mm-hmm. You could do that with wood cookies or sheets of birch bark.
Yeah.
Just design it on and decorate it either through pyrography or, mm-hmm. you know, if it's winter bark, you could do etching. If that's a craft yeah. you want to get into, you can make some birch bark etched names for everybody to hang from the tree and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. Which kind of goes into my next one, which is kind of like my last one on the list. This is a very short episode. We want to keep it nice and succinct. Again, we can't go into severe detail with these episodes.
There's only so much we can say about these things.
Yeah. At the end of it, we'd just be sitting here going, yeah, that's another one. We have this one too. And you'd be sitting there driving on your way to work going, they've been talking for 3 hours about just listing random things.
Well, even there's so much we can describe about these. Yeah. These are, like I said, just kind of more prompts.
Audio. Yeah.
Just little brain sparks to kind of make you go, okay, look more into it from there.
Definitely. So the last one I have on my list that's a confirmed, like definitely written down, that I'm sure Ryan's got a few more as well, but this is the one that I've been really thinking about, is Christmas birch bark tree ornaments or other mm-hmm. holiday ornaments made of birch bark. So you can take two pieces of birch bark, glue them together from different angles. So like you have like, you know how the bark kind of cups over time?
Mm-hmm.
I like to put the two cupping sides facing each other and then glue them. Or if I have the skills, an all in spruce root and stitch the edges together, and I can make myself a star. I can make myself, you know, a Christmas tree itself, stocking shape. You can even leave the top open and add a little bit of trimming up there of a rim
mm-hmm.
and make like an actual birch bark stocking,
yeah.
a small one to hang from the tree. Or if you got big sheets of bark and you're good at it, you can make some real big stockings that people can actually stuff with gifts for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the other one that I find really fascinating is that I've always liked is taking a long strip of birch bark and taking like a sharp stick to like a sharp edged stick
mm-hmm.
and kind of scraping it until the bark curls into this long ribbon. And I think those look so pretty on their own. But then you add like a little, you know, hole at the end, put some string through that and hang those all from the Christmas tree like tinsel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just looks really, really pretty. You can get even more creative with them where people have taken like a... I call them redneck Christmas ornaments, where you have like a shotgun shell you've dropped the primer out of.
Yeah.
Pop it out with a spent shotgun shell. I want to make that clear. Already been fired. You find them in the woods all the time because people like to leave their trash out there. We do our best to clean up behind us, and this is a good way to make use of them, is you pop the spent primer, you put a piece of thread through there. It could be milkweed fiber, basswood bark, whatever. And then you tie to the end of that your birch bark curl as well as a tuft of pine needles. And then you pull them through. And becomes kind of like this little bell
okay.
with all the decorations hanging out at the bottom, like tassels.
Yeah.
And I think those are so cute. And yes, I'm using the word cute because I think it's absolutely adorable. It's a great thing to get kids doing, especially if those are kids that are hunting kids and they are picking up their shotgun shells with you. You're teaching them good stewardship. This is a good way to make a bunch of gifts for Ma to bring back and hang up along the banister or hang off the mantle of the fireplace or something. Course, not with an open flame of the fire, because these are a bunch of tassels made of birch bark, but they're just a really simple way to kind of like make use of materials you have around. It can be from a dead tree. If you're a craftsperson that does know how to harvest birch bark sustainably from trees, you could do it that way as well. If you find a blowdown tree, feel free to strip the bark off of it. You're not affecting the actual biodegradation of that tree by removing the bark. In fact, you're encouraging the native biodegrading mushrooms to get in there easier.
Yeah.
So feel free to take the bark off of down birch trees and then use that for making crafts. I think that's one of my favorite ones to do, especially with kids.
Mm-hmm. So my next idea to kind of go off this is stuff like ash baskets, bowls, even needle baskets.
Oh,
and
yeah,
needle is a nice little starting point to do.
Heck yeah.
Because all you need is some pine needles and some twine or string. You don't quite need to understand the whole intricacies of making black ash baskets.
And yeah. Twining is twined baskets or coiled baskets are pretty straightforward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's pine needles. It's Christmas time and all that kind of stuff. That's a great idea, right?
Exactly.
I like it. Look at you all creative and shit.
But yeah, just for little candy dishes or just holding some jewelry on your nightstand or
heck
something.
Yeah.
Yeah, just these little ideas. And it's just byproducts of the tree anyway. It's
definitely
not like you're cutting down a tree or cutting into the tree to get them. It's just some pine needles. If you have to prune a branch or so, then...
Or you find one down on the road from the wind or something.
Exactly.
A great option.
So
a lot of this, if you're looking for a good book on this subject of like creating things, It's a hard one to find, but it's another one by Morris Kohansky called Bush Arts. And in there, he shows you a bunch of different things like cattail dolls and all that kind of stuff. But also what he used to call moose spaghetti coasters, which are these pieces of red willow. He called them moose spaghetti because when the moose browse on them, it ends up looking like their own version of pasta all over the place.
Yeah.
But these just simple coasters with these beautiful loops and hoops all along the edges of them that can be used as like a place to put your teapot or your hot cider during Christmas time and all that kind of stuff. That's one book I would recommend. Most other books, they're focusing on more survival skills and stuff. That one's really good at doing like arts and crafts kind of stuff.
Yeah, the word craft is a big part of bushcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thinks about all the sexy things like building log cabins and building up your bushcraft camp.
Epic fires and
all. By the end of the day, this is all just crafting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just at a larger scale. So
totally.
Working, woodworking and like weaving and even using buckskins and furs and everything is a really big part of it. So I really think you can compartmentalize all of these things and take them down to very simple items that you can make. So, so even things like sewing.
Yeah, yeah.
And knitting and
crochet
stuff like that.
And all that kind of stuff.
Crochet is something that I'm even looking to get into. I'm a 32-year-old man and I'm like, let's knit something. I can only imagine if I can make my own wool sweaters and
scarves
and hats and socks.
Heck yeah.
So yeah, we gotta stop the stigma about manly men knitting and doing all that stuff.
There's like, I remember this is back in like the early 2000s, they were talking to, I think he was a boxer, and they're like, what's your favorite hobby outside of boxing? He's like, knitting.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of just like stopped, like the record scratch kind of stopped, like, what? He's like, why wouldn't I like to knit? I want to make sure that my hands are healthy, that allows me to do dexterity. What's the problem? And at that age, like, I was like, that is cool to know that there's guys out there that knit. That makes me feel a lot more confident with my fascination with things like that because I was getting into weaving at that time. So, yeah, there's a lot of directions, and that means, like, you could also be making, like, Christmas sweaters and all that kind of stuff for your friends and family. Make a bunch of them throughout the year so you can do a big ugly Christmas sweater party at the very end of the season or something. And you can go beyond that into weaving those fibers and textiles. I've got friends that they go to thrift stores and they buy those fur jackets that nobody can fit because they're from the 1950s and they cut them into long strips, twine them, and then weave those and into sweaters and shit like that part of that, folks, stuff like that. Amazing.
I swear,
like,
all the time on here.
I know
shit. You're like,
catching
no,
myself.
Kindergarten mode. Kindergarten. Oh no.
I feel like it's the holidays, I shouldn't be vulgar too much.
Fuck this shit.
Fuck it. All right.
So like, we're manly men fucking knitting over here.
And that's the next thing, is like getting into the sewing. Get yourself some Glover's needles and some synthetic sinew and go get some of those fur coats and make fur hats for your kids, fur hats for your friends, fur mittens and stuff. It's a great direction to A, be really thrifty and save money, but make some use of those old clothes that really no one's really wearing anymore.
Yeah.
I love that direction you took this in. I love that, including the swearing.
Yeah, ever since I got in the outdoor ed world professionally, that's been everyone I know raids the local Value Village or whatever thrift shops you have around your area. Everyone just goes in there and tries to find whatever fur jackets are on. I can make so many gloves with these. I can make anything I want, even a vest, turn it into a smaller vest or something. If you have a big idea, trim for moccasins and mucklucks. And
we got, you can take like the regular winter jackets you get, and then you can go to the Value Village and buy some fur coats and cut them into trim to make a nice hooded trim.
Yeah.
Or the cuffs on the ends of them just to make you a little warmer. Then you can give that cheap jacket you got at Value Village and added a bunch of nice things to a loved one.
Yeah.
You can go real far with a lot of that kind of stuff of creativity.
Or even if you want to have a little holiday get together with your friends and have everyone bring materials and possibly buy one of these and have everyone just sit around making their own things, and people can jump in and help each other if someone has more experience. And but it's just at the end of the day, everyone has these little wine and paint parties and stuff, and then why not have like a little bushcraft get together where you're just crafting? We do this with the spoon carving stuff.
Yep.
So yeah, getting together in a group is a real fun way to kind of bring everybody together, and everyone knocks that off their list at once.
Really, what is the holidays other than getting together and spending quality time with each other?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we all want to have it.
And even things like handmade jewelry. kind of goes off the rest of this crafting stuff with antlers, feathers, bones, stones, whatever kind of little emerald you find, or a piece of quartz that you turn into a little piece of earrings or something. So
we, years ago, you've met my good friend Renee. She's actually one of our supporters on Patreon. Hi, Renee. Hopefully you're listening, but Renee taught me how to make rings.
Yeah.
Out of just old copper pipe. She taught how to use the mandrel and a very light ball peen hammer and all this kind of stuff and polishing them. Mm-hmm. And that Christmas, I gave my mother a silver ring that I took out of a piece of silver that Renee gave me, and I made sure it fit my mother's finger properly.
Yeah.
And then I made this very nice, rugged looking, but very elegant silver ring.
Mm-hmm.
And it, my mother wears it to this day. She was through the moon about it. And I was just, it was like an hour and a half of work on a little steel mandrel, just tapping, tap, 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 tap for about an hour and a half, and then a little bit of polishing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And she wears it. It's been like 6-7 years now. She still wears it all the time.
Yeah.
I felt like a kid when I get when you give your mom like the popsicle stick thing you made at school and they put up on the fridge for you. It's like, I did a good job.
Yeah, stuff like that is nice and simple. Things you find if you have a piece of antler, or else you find some bones, or you have some leftover bones from things.
Yeah, or a piece of really nice hardwood or something that you can carve.
You find like a couple nice blue jay feathers or something, and then use it all together.
Heck yeah.
Use your creativity, make it your own, make it a design that nobody else has made. So,
hell yeah.
Add your own flair to it.
I love it. I love it. That's a great one. On that, you can also make more decorations of different kinds. You can get a bunch of, you could either do natural cordage yourself, or you can go and get some parachute cord or something and make yourself like the banners that hang from the windows and everything else and have a bunch of feathers and such hanging off that. Things that you found out there with your kids. Maybe the night out before Christmas when they all go to bed, you take all those little gadgets and items that they found out in the woods and tie them together into kind of like a story banner that goes up across the Christmas tree or across the mantle or something. So when they wake up, they can get surprised by their own stories too.
Yeah. I think a lot of these, ever since everything's become pretty much commercialized over the last 60 years within all these holidays, I think everything kind of leads back to the crafting. Back 100 years ago, everyone would have made everything by hand. And even things like Halloween, people making jack-o'-lanterns and stuff.
Yeah.
It's very kind of bushcrafty in a sense. You took something from your garden and then carved the face in it, put a candle inside. It's pretty much a big candlestick holder sort of thing.
It's awesome.
And even back, they're really traditional using things like turnips.
And rutabagas and stuff.
So I feel like this all kind of falls in line with that, bringing it back to our roots. Heck of everything was handmade. Kids would get sweaters knitted from their parents and all that. So I think, yeah, this kind of takes it back to the roots.
There's, you can go even further going down to those roots of like celebrating them. Our good friend Nick Dillingham, who's a basket maker, every year around this time of year starts making pack baskets and selling those Krampus knot souvenirs. Little tiny ones all the way to full-size person pack baskets, because that's what Krampus carried. He wore a pack basket that he would throw bad children into and drag them off to hell, apparently, according to the Austrian traditions. Real festive. But the other thing that came to mind talking about that is talking about from the gardens. Some of us are getting into foraging. Some of us are getting into medicinals. Some of us are getting into the plant and, botany and botanical knowledges. A mason jar of your favorite wild plant tea blend is a very simple, very beloved gift. I got a lot of friends that make those up, the little tiny jam jar size jars, and then just a little piece of a bow or something, a ribbon on the outside of it, and all their favorite, like Labrador tea mixed with like cedar and maybe a little bit of balsam fir, a little bit of sweet gale, all mixed together in there, just sealed up after it's been dried. And those are simply given away as like, I made this for you, enjoy a cup or two of tea from me. That can be as much as you need to and as little as you need to brighten somebody's holidays.
Even something as simple as a cedar tea with maybe some floral pieces from a garden. It's nice and simple to start off that way and work your way up to some more of the intricate blends of like, oh, I'm going to take this. As your knowledge grows on wild edibles and everything like that, you know, okay, the kind of the chef inside you starts coming together and you're going full herbalist mode on that. So. And
from a growing beyond that, from a homesteader perspective, because we do homestead talks on this podcast as well. Emily has been canning nonstop since September.
September's generous. I think it's been the last 2 years has been nonstop.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but like every time the harvest is done, she pulls in a ton of it.
Yeah.
So we've got pickles, we've got relishes, we've got pickled onions that have been made in the maple vinegar that we make.
Yeah.
She's done cider jellies and persimmon jellies and all these different kinds of things, papaya jelly, jams, all this stuff. You can do it home as well. You just need a water canning operation, which is not a lot of money to make. Just a big pot full of water and some way to lift the cans in and out. Mm. And then a bunch of mason jars or other similar jars that have good sealing lids. And then just follow the recipes you find online. Mm-hmm. The other day when you're here, you're like, does Emily have like a cookbook that she's following for all this stuff? Mm-hmm. Where does she get the ideas? I'm like, I think she just sees what we get as produce and then goes and checks online and checks her cookbooks and just goes from there. Because she's got like a Guinness beer jelly in there now.
Okay.
I don't know how that works, but she's really excited about it, and I can't wait to see what her family thinks of it. I
guess you have it with some cheese and crackers or something.
Something, yeah.
Some kielbasa.
That's what I was saying, like a charcuterie kind of setup. Yeah. I've always liked like the red pepper jellies for that.
Exactly, yeah.
But I'm wondering what that Guinness jelly would be like, so I'm excited to see where that goes.
Yeah, cream cheese and red pepper jelly has always been a staple in my holiday snack list.
Either Christmas Eve or New Year's, one or the other. It's almost always served by somebody.
Yeah.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And we grow peppers.
Yeah.
We should have done some hot pepper jellies for our holidays this year. Damn it. Damn it, Caleb.
I already did. I gave you a jar last year.
Shh. I'm trying to sound like I'm sad.
No. No, not allowed being sad.
I ate it within a week.
We've thought of these
things. I ate it within a week. Yeah. I couldn't keep it out of my mouth.
That's the thing. I had so many red peppers. Because I grew bell peppers for the first time, and I had no idea what to do with that many red bell peppers. I'm like, I guess I'm adding a bunch of sugar and vinegar and pectin and boiling it down.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then I also had my hot pepper. So I'm like, I'm going to make like a spicier red pepper jelly because you're always used to it kind of being on the sweet side with how much sugar's in it. So just adding a pepper. I think I put in one of the Thai dragons, maybe.
Probably.
Or else a banana pepper, just something like one of the hot banana peppers, so it has enough, because my mom absolutely can't handle spicy food whatsoever. She's the whitest of the white.
Gotcha. I love her
a lot, but even she's the first to admit, what is this having? Pepper? I can't. Black pepper's too spicy.
Oh, God, what was in that? An onion? Yeah. I know those folks. I'm so married to that folk.
Yeah, so I was like, I made this. It has a little bit of spice. No, I can't eat it. But I made sure it was not strong. I don't want to test it. Sorry, sorry, son.
Yeah. There's a lot of things you can go in that direction of like preserves and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a hunter, you can learn how to make like goose prosciutto. We've talked about it in the past, and that's a great like holiday charcuterie board that you made yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're into foraging, you can make like acorn crackers or curly dot crackers. And then have all your little preserved and cured meats that you made yourself from the animals you caught. And then maybe just go out and get some fancy cheeses if you want, or simple cheeses. And then like a red pepper jelly you made yourself.
Yeah.
You're pretty much set. And you can make your own charcuterie board because you're a bushcrafter.
Mm-hmm.
Carve it out of a nice piece of oak or elm or something.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's a great direction to entertain some friends and guests and loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different directions. We literally could keep talking about this.
Yeah.
All the live long day.
Yeah. I think one of the... Final, I have a couple things left. We just touched on the dried goods and teas and herbal remedies, like I was thinking.
Cool.
But also go with that is stuff like salves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
It's nice and simple. You go and get your ingredients together, melt them down in a pot, and then you can make lip balms for people, ointments for people, just some relaxed stuff. I grew cannabis the first year of the pandemic. And I didn't realize just how much extra scrap I would have left over. But I was like, you grew it. Why put it to waste, sort of thing. So just infusing it in coconut oil and then adding some beeswax. And then I'm like, ooh, I got some shea butter just to add a little moisturizing in that. And I gave you some of my cannabis salve.
And that was the only thing that would make my back not scream.
Yeah.
It was an incredible gift. As simple as it was for you in your eyes, like, oh, I'll just give this to Caleb. It was a boon in my life for the year that I was using it. And it helped my back recover quite a bit. I loved it. Emily would just get her hand warm, the oil warm, and just rub it into my back a little bit, and I'd be ready to rock.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Yeah, it's even nice on the hands after carving all day long. everyone that works with the knives and carving all day long. At the end, you feel like it's carpal tunnel syndrome kicking in at the end of it.
And you think about all the calluses and everything else that build up over time. It's like my hands, you can, it's for those ASMR fanatics, that's just the calluses on the edge of my hand.
Yeah.
Like a light piece of sandpaper. A little bit of that salve or any other moisturizing salves you can make for your friends, especially us that work with our hands all the time. I think that's a great option, right? That's great.
So, yeah, just simple things like that. Bringing the gift of pain-free holidays, something like that, is really effective. And people even do simpler salves from the woods based off their foraging and everything. Yep. So it doesn't necessarily have to be something you grow, but you go and get some.
Yeah. Cedar needle. We make what's called minigun, which is a mix of bear grease. Some people use coconut oil if they can't get a hold of bear grease and spruce gum that's been clarified. And then we cook in the oil, a bunch of cedar leaves or cedar scales or needles, however you want to describe it, with a little bit of willow bark. And you just strain that out, mix that half and half with the spruce gum, and then use that as what's called minigun for like wounds, but also like arthritis and stuff. Like that's what's one of the few things that makes my hand not hurt when I've been using a crooked knife day in and day out is using minigun salves.
Hell yeah. So
I like that.
Yeah. So I guess I'll get to the last thing on my list.
Sure.
You touched on a lot of things. I think we both had this a lot of similar things on our list, but just going back to the leather work and things like that. There's friends of ours like Lure of the North who sell DIY kits. They sell anoraks and moccasins and gloves, but then they also sell do-it-yourself kits that cost about half the price because they don't have to put it together themselves.
It's just the material cost.
So it's they give you the materials. They give you a beautiful little manual of how to do it all. I still have my anorak kit that I'm hoping to put together in the next month, as well as some winter moccasins with canvas uppers, or you get ones with the leather uppers. And you get to choose whether you want some buckskin or some bison or moose sort of thing. So that takes a lot of the finding off your hands. So think about how many stores you drive around to find like the right fur coat to do the trim on your hoodie or something.
Yeah.
So ideas like that are really nice little ones. It comes all together in a package. It has directions and everything. It even has links, I think, to videos with some more. Okay, here's how we show how to do it. You read the steps, but you might be more of a visual learner.
That's a great
idea. That is how I first found out about Kai and Dave, was through their goods, like their anoraks and everything.
Right on. Yeah, that's a great direction to go as well, is just DIY, get a kit, put them together. There's a lot of different kits out there from different companies for different things. You can buy knife making kits for your friends and stuff. Then you can all sit together and make your own knives to go carve with. There's so many different directions you can go with it. There's so many.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the lesson out of this episode, is like there's so much creativity out there. Don't get intimidated by it. You can start as simple and plain Jane as possible, and who knows, like as the years go, you can make more and more fancy things for your friends and loved ones. That little deer that I made you, the little reindeer out of birch, it's starting to rot, it's been 5-6 years out in the rain, you know, it's falling apart. Here's a brand new one that looks like a real one. You can go that far with it, as far if you want to. It all comes down to what you have a passion for in there. I think this is a great direction for a lot of us who practice bushcraft to keep up on our skills during the holidays, while also making sure that you show your love and appreciation for your loved ones. It's a great one.
Exactly.
So I think that's all we really want to get at with this. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining with us. This is just a very short episode, but it's a very beloved episode for both Ryan and I. I want to thank my dear friend, Rye, the Adventure Guy, for joining me for another episode of the podcast.
No problem.
And I want to thank all of you supporters of ours on Patreon. If you're not a supporter on Patreon, what are you doing? Come on now. Patreon.com/CanadianBushcraft. Get over there. Jump on there. We have a bunch of kickbacks coming in the new year. A lot of different stuff. And it can be as little as one coffee a month if you that's all you can afford. Because again, some of you may be starving students or starving artists. So it can be as little as $1.50 a month Canadian. Always as much as you want, depending on what kind of tiers and kickbacks you want in return. Check us out over there at Patreon.com/CanadianBushcraft. And for everyone here, whether you're a patron or just someone listening in casually, thank you for your support. Thank you for your time. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you in the next episode of the Canadian Bushcraft Podcast. Rye and I say to you, happy holidays.
Bye.